Welcome back in to Buff Stampede Radio. Adam Ostertiger, the publisher of BuffStampede.com, joined by the SCO Show co-host, Chase Howell. Let's do talk a little bit more and preview the upcoming spring practices in Boulder. But first, how is the show going? It's on every Thursday on Maha High Sports Radio, and you and Anil Opiro have been doing an awesome job. I've had a lot of fun coming on with you guys on a regular basis.
Yeah, the show's been a ton of fun. We go once a week, every Thursday for an hour, and we just kind of chop it up about whatever's happening with the Buffs. A lot of it has been basketball recently, but we'll talk about just about anything, as long as it's you.
All right, so you're one of the guys I go to when we talk recruiting. And I wanted, before we get into some of the current team personnel and what we're looking forward to with spring ball, you're starting to see now, Chase, for all the flack that Colorado took with how they turned over the roster and brought in so many transfers last year, it's quickly becoming the norm in college football. Coach Prime really is kind of revolutionizing the way a lot of these top programs go about acquiring talent.
Right. I kind of like to use the term adapt or die. Like, these teams, especially if you're a low-level Power 5 team, the only way that you're going to be able to build a good roster right now is through the transfer portal. It's by taking guys that really aren't working out at their spots or whatever it is at their current schools. But that's the direction we're going. You're not going to be taking 25 recruits anymore. It doesn't make sense roster-wise to be doing that when there's all these players in the transfer portal. And a lot of them are proven, and you can still get them. And we'll see what ends up happening with the NCAA rules, but they can be locked in for a few years now, too, if you get them from the transfer portal. So it just makes a lot more sense to when you're trying to add. The Buffs have been adding a lot more than 30, 40 guys a year, but when you're adding 30 guys, you might as well be taking 20 of them from the transfer portal.
Yeah. You know, that's a good point that you've got to adapt or die. Like, I think if you ran a poll for college football fans, would you like to go back to the way it was, you know, 20 years ago, pre-NIL, pre some of the different things that are going on? Would you with the conference realignment, would you prefer to go back? I think most people would say, without hesitation, yes, that it's kind of turned into the Wild Wild West with recruiting. We miss a lot of the regionality of the game of college football. But, I mean, you can sit there and complain about it, but it's not going to go back to the way it was. The TV companies are running college football now. NIL is running recruiting for, by and large, for these big-name programs. So it kind of is what it is. It's sad that it's a little bit more transactional, though, now. I think it's just a little bit harder as a college football fan to buy into the team from an emotional standpoint when you don't have the connection of watching a guy go from his freshman year to senior year. And maybe that's what will make the stories of the guys that do come in and stay somewhere 4 or 5 years even more special. I don't know, but it's not going to change. So if we're going to keep complaining about it, it does at some point get to you're just yelling at an old man yelling at clouds, right?
Right. We probably have lost the endearing part of this guy was in the same classrooms that I was when I was at CU. Where a lot of that stuff is gone now. But when we talk about it from a talent perspective, I was reading numbers on the NFL draft. There are so many less underclassmen going to the NFL now. I think it got cut in half over the past year of guys going to the NFL. All these guys are staying in college longer, which means there's a lot more talent in college. You're going to have a lot more seniors that are really good football players that could be playing in the NFL. So it's actually upgraded the talent level. I know most people fall in love with college football because of the amateur aspect of it, but we're going to be watching better players on the football field now.
And then who knows? I mean, 10, 15 years, once USC and UCLA and some of these schools have been traveling a crazy amount of miles, especially with their Olympic sports, maybe things get back to some semblance of the way it was, once hopefully logic overtakes, kind of the greed that takes place sometimes in college football nowadays. But with the current Buffs, Chase, I'm curious. First day of spring ball, we know who QB1 is. What's the hierarchy behind him, day one? You got Walter Taylor.
Yeah.
You got Wade and you got Ryan Staub.
And I have to point to Ryan Staub. I think what he did against Utah in that final game, obviously not a great offensive line, but that was also working with Pat Shurmur. And I think he already has a rapport with Pat Shurmur. And I think Shurmur had to have liked how he performed in that Utah game. So day one of spring practice, I could see Ryan Staub getting a lot of those second team reps. But then, yeah, I love Walter Taylor. I think he has a lot of talent. We haven't been able to see it much on the football field, but he's got the ability. He's got the size. They say he has a big arm, which we haven't seen much of yet at Vanderbilt. But I like him, and then you go to Dustin Wade, who also has some talent, and he has a little bit more experience. He only played one game in college, but that was against literally the best defense in college football that year in Iowa. So he was pretty much put in a spot where he wasn't going to be able to succeed. So we got to give him a little bit of his praise too. I think we'll see an interesting battle between those three guys. And I'm not sure who's going to come out on top, but this is a lot better quarterback situation than they had last year, that's for sure.
And Walter Taylor, no matter where he is at in terms of the true quarterback pecking order, he's a guy that you can utilize, right, as maybe a wildcat option. You've now got big Tyler Brown eligible, Justin Mayers, Tyler Johnson. You've got more talent on the interior. That was one thing. They just couldn't get that short yard situation on a consistent basis last year, and it really cost them a couple games last year by not being able to convert in those situations. So you got a big quarterback like Walter Taylor that is a big runner. Why not use him in that situation, kind of like you saw with LaVisca Chenault, and he was always so successful. You worry with him, his body wearing down, and it did happen one of those years he was with the Buffs. But with Walter Taylor, find a role, and I think that could be a valuable one.
It can definitely make a difference in a football game. We saw it with the Eagles this past year with their tush push, their brotherly shove, whatever they call it. But when you know you're going to get that fourth and one or third and one every single time, that can make a huge difference. So if they do end up having a package for them, they got a couple guys that would be able to do that that aren't Shador, that Shador isn't getting beat up going up the middle there.
What position battle has you most intrigued going into spring ball?
Intrigued, I kind of want to go with inside linebacker. And the reason is because we don't know what they have in Demoy Kennedy or Brendan Gant. I think they were both banged up all year last year. And I'm really intrigued to see if they can get fully healthy, if they can be good contributors at the linebacker position. And then you got some other depth there too with Keaton Wade, I think might be able to slide over.
Maybe one guy that folks should probably be talking a little bit more about. He played quite a bit at Kentucky, and now it is a transition. He was more on the edge there at Kentucky, but if he steps up, that would be a huge get for them, because that's what they need right now is a run stuffer.
So you really just got a lot of guys that could contribute, and I don't know who's going to end up getting most of the snaps there, but there's probably five or six guys at the linebacker position that could possibly be a starter there.
What are your thoughts on Trevor Woods being in there?
See, that's another one. If he throws on some more weight, he didn't look great at the linebacker position, but I think they had to do
it. But it was also midseason too, right?
Yeah, you're getting thrown in a new position midseason that he's never played. Is obviously a little bit small for a linebacker, but if he can throw on some weight, obviously he has the smarts, the football IQ to be able to do it. He's going to be in the mix too.
Do you have a sleeper on the roster going into spring ball?
I heard you and David talking a lot about Omarion Miller, who I like quite a bit, and I think he could end up playing a lot at receiver. I'm going to go with Jaden Milner-Jones, JMJ.
I love Jaden Milner-Jones, yeah.
I think what he was able to do at the end of the season, the last three or four games, he played a lot at the safety position, and we didn't really expect much from him as a true freshman. He was only a three-star recruit. He committed really late. It was a signing day surprise, so we didn't know what we were going to get from him. And the way that he was able to contribute down the stretch there, I think he could be a pretty good contributor at the safety position, especially with a guy like Trevor Woods moving to linebacker. There's not that much depth at the safety position, or not much known depth that we know right now.
Yeah, and he, Milner-Jones, and Jeremiah Brown, those were big special teams guys, too, guys that played on like five of the six special teams units last year. So he had a big impact there as well. All right, so there's going to be quite the party at the spring game on April 27th. We know there's going to be a party that goes beyond what those in attendance at Folsom Field are going to be invited to. Going to be a lot of celebrities, I would imagine, in town. How much would you be willing to pay to get into that VIP party?
Ooh, you got to start probably around $1,000. I don't know. I think if you had the cash, I don't have that kind of cash in my bank account, but to be able to be around a bunch of celebrities, a bunch of probably former professional athletes, probably some big time DJs, I would imagine. Maybe even a Lil Wayne performance or someone like that performing at a big party. I think that's worth quite a bit of cash. And I might try to see if I can weasel my way into that party.
There was one question that I skipped over here. We started with recruiting. Let's finish with recruiting. Is there a 2025 quarterback prospect that has really caught your eye?
Yeah, I think there's a few. I think you got to start with Juju Lewis. we'll see what – it doesn't seem like he's that committed to USC. He's taken all these visits elsewhere. It seems like he's open to looking elsewhere, and I love him as a prospect. I was watching his tape earlier today just to kind of remind myself, and not the biggest guy, not the biggest arm, but he really knows how to deliver the football, and I like those types of quarterbacks. He's only played he's actually reclassifying, so he was a sophomore this past football season. So played 2 years as a freshman and a sophomore, and was highly productive at a very good school in Georgia and Carrollton. And I think he's as much of a surefire type of quarterback prospect as it gets. But there's Madden Iamaleava.
That's pretty good.
I might have to say it. I didn't want to say it, but yeah, I think he's also one that I'm very intrigued by. And there's a couple more down the board as well.
I know CU fans want to have Shador's successor lined up, right? It just makes you feel better about the future. But as long as this football team lives up to their own expectations this year, that's going to work itself out. That could be a 25 quarterback that's verbally committed somewhere else right now. That could be one of the top quarterback transfers in the country next year. It's going to be an attractive place for a quarterback to play after the season, as long as they take care of business on the field. So I would just tell CU fans to not stress out about that, because even if you got a quarterback pledge right now, there's still a long time until signing day, and so there's really nothing guaranteed until December.
Yeah, a lot of things can change from here in signing day, and we saw that with Dylan Raiola this past signing day, him flipping to Nebraska. So you never know about these quarterback guys, and I don't know if I would feel that comfortable about a true freshman quarterback coming in and starting right away. Yeah. I would imagine that the 2025 starting quarterback is probably going to be from the transfer portal, and it's going to be a very appealing spot to any quarterback that enters the transfer portal for sure.
All right, Chase, where can people find you?
All over Twitter. I'm all over that place at Chase Howell, a couple underscores. The SCO Show is on Mile High Sports Twitter, and you can find that on YouTube as well. So I'm always chopping it up with Buffs fans all the time.
You and Anilo genuinely do a great job on that show. So appreciate you for joining us today. That was our second spring ball preview segment. Up next, we got Sean Niehoff joining the show.